podcast.
Welcome to We Know's Parenting. I'm Beth Newell.
And I'm Peter McNerney.
This is the podcast you come to find out how not to parent by example.
Should that be the tagline?
How not to do it.
This is how you parent if you want to fuck up your kids.
I got to say, when we were first pitching the show and coming up with names, it was so hard. It seems so cliche to be like, we're parents, but we don't know what we're doing. A couple of knuckleheads.
You know, branding is hard.
We knows.
But we knows how to do it. We're so good at it. Thank you for coming to our show. We Knows Parenting.
What a week.
What a week.
What a week.
We're back in the groove. We're parenting our kids. Figuring our lives out as usual, just going with the flow. everything in the world right now is such a constant onslaught of like, I feel like this is a feeling a lot of people I know are having right now. It's just like so overwhelming between the news and personal lives and especially being parents and just trying to process it all. Like, it's just like,
you know what my biggest parenting challenge of the week was?
What?
Talking my cab driver down from the coronavirus ledge.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not even really going to coronavirus town. Like, I get why it stokes some people's anxiety, and I feel very blessed as someone who's very anxiety prone. I, for some reason, do not have, like, super high germophobia. So I'm just like, you know what? They'll let me know if it's bad. If they don't let me know, I just don't feel like the idea that I personally have control over this, I think, is so egotistical because
you don't.
I ride the Metro North train to the New York City subway at least 3 days a week. My children are in a daycare where they just rub
their job is to get
on each other. Or my son is in a kindergarten. All my children are doing is licking up germs all day long. But that's kind of the beauty of the coronavirus is that it's not affecting kids in the same way it is other people, supposedly.
Yeah.
Kids are not getting the same.
I've read a lot about it, mostly because I come from a place of when people panic about anything, I roll my eyes and act like I know better, and then I'm like, I better read up on this so that I can be.
It's not like I don't necessarily think it's like rational to not panic, but I do think as a New Yorker or someone who's commuting into New York City on a regular basis, it's like you can't go with the panic. Like, it's just like the city has withstood so many bizarre things that you're just sort of like, well, how bad could it be? Like, I do fundamentally believe that the city of New York could crumble into the ocean at any moment if the right storm were to strike, but I don't think I personally have any control over whether I happen to be in the place where that's happening at the exact time. Like, I just don't. I'm just, you know what?
Well,
I'm meant to fall into the ocean,
then let it. That's how you want to go. That's your ideal way to go in the salty sea.
Well, and I think like I'm not gonna wash my hands. Like, sure, I'm gonna wash my hands a little more and like try to be more aware of touching my face, which I touch all day long, 24/7.
My hands live in my eyes and mouth.
Expressive, beautiful, thoughtful people. Our hands are constantly caressing our cheeks.
Our faces, our hands, that's how we communicate.
Oh, we are full of hand-to-face emotions.
So if you are...
What I will say, okay?
Yeah, okay.
I don't think... So my mom's a nurse, so she's tried to tell me not to touch my face for decades. But it's so hard not to touch your face. So what I have been able to get good at over the years, I think, is that I touch
Duct
my
tape
face.
Your hands.
I touch my face more with like my knuckles and not the fingers that are doing the dirty work. Because
you do like the little kid tired eye rub with the back of your knuckle?
Yeah. Like, just try, like, be like, okay, this part of my body is designated for gross things. This part is for clean things. Like, my knuckles, I'm not using to open doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could wash your hands and disinfect all day, but at some point, you're touching a doorknob to a keyboard to your mouth. Like, it just happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I just think, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to stop touching my face because it's gorgeous and I love it.
I mean, you sit there and just make love to your face with your hands and it's very awkward to watch.
It's just too natural to me as
well.
An emotive
I went straight to the data and I go, what are the facts? Give me the facts. What is the data? And
numbers. Men want numbers.
Everything.
Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm right, and I know everything about everything.
Everything I've read has made me worry less and less and less. One, we're all gonna get it. Everyone's gonna get it. It's super contagious. But also, most people don't even know that they're gonna get it.
Right.
And it's super mild.
And this is the thing that I think people have to understand is it's not far off from a flu. Like, it's like if the flu were going around.
Well,
yes, it is bad for more vulnerable people.
It is primarily people over 65 with compromised immune systems. It is a serious thing to worry about. But the more data that they get, they realize they have no idea how many people really have it. And so initially they were like,
yeah,
it's 3% death rate. And they keep finding out, like, oh, there's so many more people that have had it, but they don't get sick enough to go to the hospital. So the death rate has gone way, 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 way down. And some people think that maybe it's more like 1.4%. But every time I read about it, it goes lower and lower and looking more and more like the flu. And so, you know, thousands and thousands of people die of the flu every year. So wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
Your hands,
but don't freak out.
But I think where we should be really careful is when we are sick is, like, don't go to work. Be really careful about washing your hands. Don't shake someone's hands when you know you have a cold. Like, that is where I think Americans are not considerate. Like,
I'm already sick. Who cares?
No, but they're like, we're just so selfish.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Like, we as a country are the most selfish people in the world.
Perfect segue to what we did today, which is I sent my son to school sick.
Yeah, which you frequently do. I mean, I play a part in it. I acknowledge that, but you do have a tendency to, like, this morning when he was not wanting to eat breakfast, you were like annoyed, and no part of you was like, I wonder if my son's sick. Like,
I took his temperature, no fever.
Yeah.
Actually, he took his own temperature.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't that sick, but he was, like, he knew he didn't feel great. So
he's got a stomach ache and he didn't have a big appetite. And the school nurse did call me in the middle of the day when I was at an audition in the financial district. Couldn't have been further away. And I just got there.
For those of you not in the know about New York City, the financial district is way downtown.
It's the tip.
North of Manhattan in Westchester County.
So I was 11:15. I got the call from the nurse, and she's like, Bryn's in the office. The teacher said he's not acting like himself. No fever, no vomiting. And then I was like, I guess I'll come get him. She's like, okay.
Well, yeah.
And
it's
then I was
fine.
Like, I'll be there as soon as I can. That was 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I worked in a nurse's office at a private school in Brooklyn, which we both worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse's attitude, like, and I think this goes for medical professionals in general, is just like, when sick people are around them, they're like, we got a sickie over here. He thinks he's real sick, but I've seen a lot worse. Like, and like, they're not like,
I think this might be an East Coast school nurse thing.
I don't know.
That was not my experience.
Well, I did work for a nurse when I worked in the nurse's office in Brooklyn. She was an emotionally abusive person who may or may not have been an alcoholic, and she was just incredibly negative.
But she liked you because you didn't say anything.
She liked me up until the point where I was just completely broken from trying to please her, and I was like, yeah, I need to not work here anymore. And then she was like, she couldn't believe it. So
you don't
want
to quit this job?
Like,
this job?
This is my problem in life, is I'm too accommodating to people who are problematic. And I'm working on it. Working on boundaries.
It's true.
But she was overly dismissive. But I do think like a lot of nurses and medical professionals have a similar vibe of like, all right, sure, you think you've got something bad? I've seen all this. Like, I do think this is kind of like a tone that's given to them in medical school or nursing school. Like, it's just like a very patriarchal attitude that's just like, the customer does not know what they want. Like,
I gotta say, the school nurses I remember from me growing up were not like that. But that might have just been my experience.
I mean, I had nice school nurses.
I had real
I always felt disbelieved. Like, I always felt like they were like, okay, your throat hurts. Well, you can hang out here for 20 minutes and then you're going to go back to class because you don't have a fever.
I'm starting to build a picture of you as a little kid, assuming what I know about Maven is how you are. And there's a version of Maven where she doesn't want to be prodded for information. And when you ask her questions really bluntly, she'll like squint at you. And then it's hard to read what's going on with her. And so I've started to see like, oh, is this what all those teachers were seeing in Beth when they're like, does she have an attitude? I can't tell. Do you feel like there's any validity to that?
Because the world to women is like, do you really feel what you're feeling? Or are you an idiot? Like, that's, I think sometimes she's like, Maven correctly, sometimes when she's throwing a tantrum, she like very clearly is like, I need this from you as like, I need you to help calm me down as a 3-year-old. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's like
what she's saying is,
no, but like I have seen her thrown tantrums where like I got mad, like when she was very young and I was like, just very feeling very frustrated because she was just like incoherent toddler. And then I was like, I probably talked about this in the podcast before, but I was like, Maven, what do you want? And then she
it's
was
like worst question and to then, ask someone
no,
under five.
And then she goes, I want you. And it was like the most clarifying, like clear, like I was like, she just wanted me to pay attention to her. It wasn't about like whatever thing she was requesting or whatever. She just wanted me to like focus on her.
Yeah.
And it was like she,
I've learned,
I know sometimes she's just being a 3-year-old and she's moody and tired, whatever. But like sometimes I think she is just very like, hey,
you gotta read the
she's like, hey, my big brother has been flipping out for like an hour and you guys haven't paid attention to me. I get it.
Yeah, partially she's grown up and so she can start to be able to let things go. Which is a brand new, she's approaching 4 and you can see it, the light at the end of the 3 tunnel. I also can see it coming earlier and get out of the way.
Yeah. Well, she's been so funny lately because Bryn has had some like tantrums or like we'll be like playing and he's bossing me around and he's like, you have to do this and you have to do this. And Maven will just cuddle up on me and be like, zoobity gooby gee. And she interrupts his thing to just be goofy and like snuggle me, which is really like fun. I'm like, yeah, this is easier.
And like, Maven,
then and he's like, I'm directing production. He's like, you need to say this. And he gets like so frustrated
with her.
Like
mommy.
She just steals the spotlight in sort of a more like effortless way.
Boy, I tell you, so I picked him up and he was fine. He was just really upset that I took so long. He's like, the nurse's office is so boring. And so we went home and he goes, can we go out to dinner? I was like, you haven't eaten all day. Are you hungry? He's like, maybe. We'll see. So we went to a restaurant with Maven and he's a little bit like under the weather, but just that makes him calm and cuddly.
And yeah, so, I kind of like that version of it.
I love it. And Maven was really goofy and he wasn't bothering to argue with her for every and no reason. And it was the best dinner we ever had. And he ended up eating a bunch. And we read books and went straight to sleep. And everyone was great. We listened to music. Maven and I did more air drumming. She's a good drummer.
She's good.
So now you need to tell me the story. On Bryn's door, I came home the other day and I saw a piece of paper that said, Bryn, yes. And this is taped to Bryn and Maven's door. It says, Bryn, yes. Maven, yes. Mommy, yes. Daddy, no.
Yeah, so, okay, you got the short end of the stick because here's what happened. It was like, okay, it felt like the Democratic primaries where, okay, Bryn was like throwing a tantrum for some reason. He probably just didn't want me to turn the TV off or something. And he was just like being horrible. And I was like, you need to stop. You can't be like punching me, whatever.
I'm sorry. Were you watching TV on a school night? Ugh, I go away.
No, this is a Sunday night.
Oh, okay, great. I take it back.
So he's just like losing it. And he probably did watch too much like YouTube that day, whatever. But it was just like, once again, we are tired parents. And sometimes you have to have a lazy day and everyone is lazy. So he was kind of losing it.
Oop, sound insulation blanket has fallen off the wall for the second time in 2 years.
It's about to get very echoey in here because the wall is exposed.
Nobody can hear it. I don't even need it up there.
Okay, so Bryn was freaking out. And then he's flipping out and I was like, he didn't want Maven to read her book. He wants to be the boss of bedtime and like do the book picker line where he lays the books out and he picks the books and he narrows it down to a category. And like, I was like, Maven wants to read this new book that she has not read a lot and we're going to read it. So I took her in the other room to start reading it and he was still flipping out and he found like a piece of paper and wrote, yes, Bryn, no, Maven, and taped it to the door. So this is like his latest thing.
Rebellion.
This is like latest form of rebellion.
Well, he wants to make the rules. He wants to explain things. So he's discovered he can make signs.
Now he's like Martin Luther nailing his thing to the church. He's like, I have discovered the written word, and this is my form of protest. And so he was like putting the sign on the door. And then he like, he was like, Maven can't come in here. And he was like trying to force the door closed and I was trying to put shit open. And Maven, which I was very proud of her, she just like ripped it off the door very like sassily. And he's like, Maven can't come in here. And he's like, she was like, Bryn, I took it off. And they're like both fighting. And then like, they got in this much longer fight. I was probably like restraining him or something, but he like ended up, as I was trying to restrain him in the bedroom, because it was like probably a half hour past bedtime or whatever, and I'm trying to keep them in the bedroom and explain that this is bedtime while all this is happening. And they're like, Bryn is like flipping out, and I was turning the lights off, and he like hurt himself and started crying. So then he's like crying as like finally starting to calm down. And then Maven has like been getting into like mad at him, trying to make her own sign and getting a pen and paper and just insisting. And she's trying to write and she's trying to get me to like explain how to write her sign, which, and this is what kept happening to me during this, is like they were fighting against each other, but then they would very quickly form an allyship if they could like extend the lack of bedtime. So Bryn was like, I'll help you, Maven. And he started at length explaining to her how to write no Bryn, yes Maven on a piece of paper. And he spelled out every letter for her. I have this on video. I should post some of it. But he's like, okay, then write this. And he's like, as he's like wiping away his tears from the tantrum and hurting himself, he's like,
someone who listens to me.
Yeah, he's like, let me tell you how to make the sign. And then he was like, as she finished it and like taped it up, he was like, okay, so I have to correct it. And then he was writing like,
he got out of his red editor's pen.
Yeah, so then they both had to make like another sign. And it was like, yes, Maven, yes, Bryn. Yes, Mom. It was meant to be like reconciliatory. What's the word I'm looking for? Reconciliatory.
A reconciliation.
And they like, but then at the end, they just had to pick a common enemy. And they were like, no, Daddy. And so
They're like, there it is.
So Brynn wrote that and like put big boxes around everything and put it on the door. And Maven was like, she just wrote like, yes, Maven, yes, Brynn or whatever on her piece of paper. And I was just like, oh my God, go to bed.
And I came home and saw it and just slumped my shoulders down, crawled into bed.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it was like, once again, it's just is like a lot like the Democratic primary. Like I had to get something done and I had to pick a side at the end of the day. And I didn't like want to single you out as a problem, but you are the Bloomberg of this situation.
Oh, no. Oh, at least let me be Buttigieg.
And Buttigieg. Yeah, everybody hates Buttigieg.
Well, he made a new sign tonight and he color coded them all and it's still yes, mommy, yes, Maven, yes, Brynn and no daddy, but he colored mine green and I was like, I don't get to go in there. It hurts my feelings. He goes, daddy, 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 don't worry. It's only on St. Patrick's Day. Oh, you know what? I'm just realizing he was asking me, daddy, what color is Easter? I was like, why? And he goes, never mind. And now I know why. One of them's Easter.
Cool. That's the day there's no mommy.
That's right.
Yes, mommy.
Although it says yes. You are only get to go in on Easter.
Oh.
Maybe I win. Right.
I guess you get to do all the bedtimes and wake-ups.
Nice! And now it's time for We Knows What They're Watching. This is where we talk about our children's media consumption habits. Beth?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about these YouTube yoga videos that Brynn discovered. I'm actually completely blanking on the name of these yoga videos. It's like
super yoga.
Yeah, it's like super yoga kids.
Like Nitro.
Cosmic Kids Super Yoga. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, so Brynn was doing this thing the other night before I realized about this YouTube channel where I thought he had been going to like a yoga gym class or something because he acted out to me as if he were a yoga instructor, an entire yoga class while I was on the yoga mat. And it was actually really good. And I felt like, I was like, this is like a yoga class.
Like, this is the cheapest yoga class I've ever.
Well, he was going through like different like yoga poses, but he clearly knew a kid version of them. And I didn't understand where he had learned this. But anyway, he like was like, okay, we have to do our dog poses. So he was doing like downward dog. And then when he would have me do upward dog, he would say I was a wolf, and then he would ask me to howl. And he would add these little details that I felt like actually accentuated the goal of the pose in terms of like lengthening.
It actually translated to a physical thing.
Yeah, like it felt like it was helping my body. And I was like, this is in some ways better than any other yoga class I've ever taken. But he kept doing all of these poses, and he does one that he showed you the other day, which I think is so funny, where, whoa.
Be quiet, Siri.
He does a vampire pose where he lays Shavasana on his back and like puts his arms across on his chest like a vampire. And then you sit up and then you swivel your head to the left and then you grin huge. And he raises his eyebrows while grinning. And it's so funny. And like, this is what's funny about the way he was teaching me the class is like he kept doing these accentuated facial expressions like the woman on the YouTube video. And he was just so engaged in holding your attention. And he would do this thing like at the end where he'd be like waving and he'd be like, thumbs up. Great job, you guys. All right, bye. And he would wave goodbye. And the showmanship was just so funny. Like,
so you thought he made all of this up at a certain point?
No, I thought that when he was at school.
He learned at a gym class or something.
Yeah, like I thought he was at a gym class and his gym teacher did like a yoga instruction. And I was like, she's good. Because he was like, the way he was doing it, I was like, this is really engaging for kids. Like, this is great. And then I asked him, I was like, so do you learn that at school? And he was like, no, I saw it on YouTube when I was at Nana and Granddad's house. And this is a video he watched with them. So I was like, oh. And that, so then I was like, wanted to, I was curious what the video was, and we watched it on YouTube. But the actual video was actually very much less engaging than what he was doing.
Than Bryn was doing?
Yeah.
Well, when I walked in, they were watching it and not doing yoga. And I was like, well, this is why I hate YouTube.
Well, he was refusing to do it in front of you when the YouTube video was on, which I thought was really funny because he was doing it before we were watching it.
So he's getting embarrassed. And
yeah, and I said, like, I asked him a question about why he didn't want to do it, and then you were like, Bryn, are you embarrassed? And he turned to you and he goes, yes, Daddy, thank you.
Yeah, he plopped down and like rolled his eyes and looked at me, and it was like half sarcastic, but true, goes, yes, Daddy. Thank you.
I was like,
I had a vague memory of something that funny happening. I couldn't remember what it was. It was exactly that.
It was just so funny though. He was like, thank you for acknowledging my emotions.
Oh my God. It just reminded me of something very funny Bryn said that I actually wrote down. So Bryn and Maven were doing belly bumps. They're like, Bryn, belly bumps. And they're bumping bellies and giggling. And I was like, this is very cute. And then Maven took her shirt off. And then Bryn took his shirt off. And they were doing belly bumps. Like, Daddy, naked belly bumps. And then Maven was like, let's get naked and do belly bumps. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Okay. I think that's good. And then they just started like looking at each other's naked torsos. And then Bryn started talking about boobies. He's like, look at your boobies, Maven. And she's like, these are my boobies. Right, Daddy? And I was like, when they're just like pinching her nipples. And I was like, well, those are your nipples. And then we got into a conversation about boobies. And I explained when boobies happen and what the difference is.
They were trying to play a game with me the other night where they wanted to be babies and drink from my boobs, and they're like, and Maven has been doing this thing this week where she takes off her clothes and is just in her underwear to try to be a baby, and I was like, you know, no, I don't want your mouth like on my boob, like, and I was trying, it was like,
well, this was after Bryn, so Bryn, I explained that when you know, many girls get older and grow boobs, and then Bryn said, I wrote this down. Yeah, Daddy, I know. When girls get boobies, their nipples look broken and creepy. They also look like they're not nipples. Like, broken and creepy?
I kind of get it. It's like,
and I was like,
it's like, what are these? And why do we love them?
You know, he's talking about your boobs.
Broken.
Unless he's seen other breasts.
I mean, probably. It is like, whenever I'm trying to get dressed around them, they are like locked in. Like, they're like, what is going on over here? Like,
Bryn's right at the age where he's sort of pretending not to look, but he's looking. And Maven, if I'm ever peeing in the bathroom and the door is at all open, Maven bursts it open and she comes around and she like puts her hands on my leg like she's like a burglar scamp looking around a corner on a French street looking to pick some pockets, and she looks around and just is just like locks in and watches. It's the most vulnerable feeling I've
ever
felt.
This is what our friend Nick's daughter, Rhea, said to him. She did the same thing. She's much younger. She's two. And she said, that's your butt? Which is like, that's what they're doing. They're like, what the heck is that? Like, they're just,
I mean, these are nipples, but they're broken and creepy.
Broken and creepy. I mean, someday you'll understand, but society's in no rush to teach you, so I might as well give you an eyeful so you have some sort of realistic expectations.
Oh my! The other really interesting thing I did today with Bryn, is he was asking me about years. He keeps trying to tell me that George Washington is not dead, but he's not the president anymore. And I was like, well, he'd be 250 years old. He goes, he's still alive. He'll die on his next birthday. And I said, okay.
Interesting.
So we started talking about years. And I go, do you know what year you were born? And he's like, no. It's like 2014. And he could tell it was sort of an abstract concept, but he knows it's 2020. So I go, it's 2020 tonight. You want to get in a time machine? And he goes, okay. So I go, 2020, you, me, and mommy, we all live in this apartment. 2019, 2018, and I started listing things he knew. And I was like, 2016, Maven was born. Before 2015, no Maven. Just mommy and daddy and baby Bryn. And he's like, face lit up.
He was like, the time that was perfect. I was the center of the universe.
And then anyway, 2014, Bryn was born and mommy and daddy moved to Maranek. And then 2013, mommy and daddy live in Brooklyn. And he was into this. I went all the way back to 1919, which is when one of my grandfathers was born. That's when we stopped 101 years earlier. But I will say, in the middle of it, we got into life and death in a big way. Like him realizing, I was trying to find interesting things that happened in all these years. So I got to the death of my grandparents and ended with their births. We also talked about your brother who passed away in 2003. And so get ready for Bryn.
2004. He brought it up or you brought it up?
Well, I was talking about years that people were born. I didn't talk about that on the way down, but then I got to like 83 and I was like, because I kept going. And then Allie was born. And then before that, I'd paint a picture of what the family looked like. And I was doing it with mine. And then I started doing it with yours. And so I mentioned his uncle. And he is at the age where he had questions for the first time about that. And so I explained it to him. So you get ready because he's going to ask you about this. But it was a very straightforward. We talked about that. But then we talked about a million, everyone in our family that he's ever been aware of at all. And sort of starting going backwards all the way to his great-grandparents' births. And I talked about World War II and like the Great Depression because I was running out of things to talk about it for each year. And he was locked in. And I feel like time suddenly he had some sort of reference for it. Or maybe I'm reading into it and he just likes numbers.
I mean, I do think he's fascinated like by the idea of there being things he's not aware of. Like, I think I said a few weeks ago when he said something where he was like, I'm sorry I said I knowed everything. I don't. But when he said that to me...
I'm sorry when I said I knowed everything. But I don't.
But the day he said that to me was the same day or like the same week that he was learning about like Martin Luther King and like Martin Luther King Jr. and like Black History stuff where he like for the first time in his life he was like hearing this thing about how like people weren't nice one time. You know, like yeah. He was just like, oh, I thought everything was good, but...
Oh, you just reminded me where this conversation about years started is we were reading the book about extinct animals.
Oh, yeah.
So we read the descriptions and it explained that they died out almost exclusively because of humans. And so Bryn was like, that's so mean. Why did that happen?
Spoiler alert, humans are the bad guys.
What? Yeah, we found an animal that went extinct in 2017. So that's where this whole thing began. It was a big, big sick day for Brinny Boy.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to process.
It sure is. I just want to say that we have made really poignant references to both Martin Luther King and Martin Luther in one podcast.
Wow, full circle.
Full circle.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
This email comes to us from Samantha. Subject line, Listeners Want to Knows. Way to use the segment title. Love it. Hi, Beth and Peter. I've been listening to your podcast since our foster son came into our lives a year ago. He was 4 days old, and I was desperately searching for any and all parenting advice. Your podcast is the only parenting podcast I still listen to. And I'll continue to need it since we just started the adoption process. I love you guys. Wow. Here is my listener desperately wants to knows. Connor is 1 year old now, and all we hear from doctors is all the solid food he should be eating and all the words he should be saying. Yikes. This kid apparently loves baby cereal and pureed food. Do you have any, did you have any struggle here? And what did you do to get your kids to make the switch? Any tricks to try? I'm asking all my friends and trying everything. Side note, he babbles all the time. So I'm focusing on the food thing right now. Shameless plug, my new pregnant niece will be getting There's No Manual for her birthday next month. Spoiler.
Oh,
Samantha.
Thank you.
I can't share them on social media yet, but I know Beth likes a good baby picture, so this is for you guys.
She included one? Oh, he's so cute. Oh, my God. He has little... He's like a tiny, pudgy Lakeith Stanfield of a baby. Oh, my God.
You wanna devour those cheeks.
He's like... Oh, he's cute. He looks a little bit like our nanny's baby son that we met after she worked for us.
That is a cute baby.
Very cute.
I like that also. I assume, Samantha, that this is you in the picture. Her face is cut off and it's just her smirk. It is a proud, but humble smirk.
I mean, you'd have to be proud of that little man. He's so cute.
All right. Real questions in here, though.
Okay, the real questions about eating solids.
I will quickly say about the talking thing, which you don't seem concerned about, and I don't think you should be, is both of our kids were totally different. Bryn talked forever, but not with real words.
Yeah, he was like, oh, what is it? Okay,
and Maven did not speak until she had concrete words to say.
She was clear and direct. She would be like, no.
Cereal.
Banana. They're very different. But what I would say about, like, the first year or so of parenting, I feel like, people fill your head with all these goals and milestones and things that seem important at the time. I even think this goes into like second and third year of having kids, where it's just like some kids start talking later, some kids start crawling later, some kids have trouble gaining weight. It's like a lot of times I think in retrospect, it is completely meaningless. And like,
especially the 1 year mark. There's so many things that get measured at about 1 year, the walking and the talking and all this stuff happens, but it's like such a sliding scale.
Yeah. I mean, my mom would always tell the story growing up of taking my brother to the pediatrician at like 10 months old or something. And she was like, can I start feeding him solids? And the pediatrician was like, you're not feeding him solids? Like, and he was like a big fat baby and he had been just like having pure breast milk. And it's like, you're not like hurting, that much. It's just like human beings are more resilient than we realize, especially when they're babies. Like I think when you take them to the doctor at their 1 year mark, you'll know if there's like a serious problem. And like, all this other stuff is just the pediatrician's trying to like find some feedback to give you, but it's not like
they're also, I found like, when you talk to the pediatrician, they're immediately giving you things that they said to a more panicked parent who is trying to be like, why isn't this? Yeah. And so they immediately sort of defensive, and you weren't even a part of that conversation.
Well, I think we have a particularly good pediatrician who's very like non-alarmist. So he's always like giving a caveat that's like, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Like, you know, he's not like, I don't think he's trying to like scare us too much, but
I'm going to miss him when we move.
Yeah.
Well, we could drive 2 hours to see him.
I don't see him because you take the kids, but I appreciate that he's a fan of mine.
Yes, he loves you.
He loves Reductress.
He sure does.
But yeah, I don't.
But I read this and I was like, It's incredible. Again, you've said this. If you want advice on from parents about kids of a certain age, it has to be within the last year. And I was like, when did we switch to solid foods? Do you remember? And what was like, what were the staples? What were the go-to foods?
That's the stuff I'll never be able to tell you, like, with accuracy about, like, the rules of the first year. Like, I feel like it's like they can have honey after, like, 9 to 12 months. They're like, they
yeah,
need
there's
to
something
start
about
eating.
Don't feed a baby honey or it'll multiply like a gremlin.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get him wet after midnight. But
they turn into the baby from the Dinosaurs TV show.
I'm the baby. I remember that there was like 3 years of our lives where all we ever fed our kids was Annie's shells and cheese with peas.
Yeah, and it was like, we were like, well, at least the peas are real food. We're doing all right. Like,
there's peas in there.
That's like what that. I am still feeding our children at about that level. Like my exhaustion level, like week to week, is like at least 70% that level of cooking, which is just like, here's some nuggets. I'm throwing them in the oven. I'm ordering food. I'll like give them fruit or like try to sneak a vegetable in. But like for the at least the last, I would say 6 months, you're the only one who's cooked like a real meal for our children.
It's true. And that's fine.
I aim to get back there. I just don't like.
How about with a new kitchen?
With a new kitchen, maybe. I just haven't had time to, like, think of a meal, go to the grocery store, buy said ingredients for said meal. Like, the number of steps it takes.
That's why I love America's Text Kitchen. Best simple recipes. Under 30 minutes, and I usually have enough ingredients. And then there's, like, 5 I do over and over. Because when I'm at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, I need salmon, chives, butter. That's it. Asparagus. But what did I remember? What at 1 year old in that high chair? What did we throw down on that on the?
It was like 50
strawberries,
50% blueberries.
That's right. A lot of blueberries.
So many blueberries. And just yeah, it's all gonna be tiny cut up stuff. What did we do? Cut up like
we just cut
pasta,
everything.
Chicken.
Chicky. I remember we started doing meat and that scared me so much. I cut it so tiny.
We were cutting a lot of things very tiny for Bryn, especially.
Maven, not so much. We're like, here's a chunk of cheese.
Yeah, she was like hearty. She was like, I'll figure it out.
I made them grilled. They've never liked grilled cheese until this weekend. I made them.
They've had
cheese.
A weird thing about grilled cheese that has been driving me crazy. Like, I only offer it every like month or so or less because they're so weird about it. But I'm like, how do you not like grilled cheese?
Because Bryn said he didn't like melted cheese. And I go, oh, okay, how about I grill it? Watch me. And I had him watch me do it. And then he was like, oh, this is just a bunch of melted cheese.
But for a while, he also had a thing about like quesadillas where he would get like annoyed. Remember, like we used to try that a lot and he would just like always be.
This just brought me back to my mom being so annoyed that I didn't want to eat this thing that was unhealthy. Oh, it was flan. And she's like, you'll love the flan. I'm like, this is gross. And she's like, it's so bad for you. You've got to like it. It's like, and I had that same feeling. I was like, I'm so angry you don't like grilled cheese. It's terrible for you. You should love it.
Yeah, they're just, yeah. You can't reason with these insane little people.
Yeah, I'm on their no list for crying out loud. So do we have any tricks? Fruit. Cut up fruit.
Yeah, it's really, at that age, it still is, to a large extent, like, practice at eating. Like, this is not, like, gonna be, you know, just throw them little bits of whatever you're eating, and then when they don't eat any of that, give them fruit and garbage, you know, give them puffs. Like,
yeah,
it's not like.
Yeah, it is that thing that we tried to do, I don't know, sometimes we were getting somewhere, which is that, like, just whatever you're eating. Yeah. You just said that. Just like throw a little bit on their tray.
But they're just not rational human beings. And you can't, like, don't beat yourself up for their logic.
But it was, and it's again, other people's advice is not going to solve this problem. It's going to be trial and error. Like we stumbled upon things just like throwing things at our kids. And one day they ate like a blueberry and we were like, that's it. We've solved it.
Right. Well, and kids just like fixate on certain things where you're just like, okay, if that's the thing and I can get some food in them today, great. Like currently our kids are into sticky rice. Like they like,
oh yeah,
are like, that's what they stipulate when we like order food and make food.
Sticky rice.
They're like sticky. Like, how did you guys come up with this?
How did you even hear that?
Right. I don't know. But this is, that's what they get when we're ordering food and we are just tired. And
I took
like,
them out for dinner tonight and I got salmon and Maven got a little pizza and she ate my dinner. She's like, can I have your salmon? I was like,
she seems to like fish. In general,
they like salmon. They both will eat that. Give them salmon. Salmon just falls apart. Let's look at the picture of this baby again. Should we? I know you guys can't see it, but just listen. Try to see this baby's face by the sound we make when we see the baby. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Mm. Aww.
He's so cute.
That's a good pose, too. He's like innocent, but a part of him's also like, I see.
He's
you.
Just like an you. Old soul trapped in a teensy body. And I love him. I
Samantha, we love him.
He's perfect. I really want to continue to encourage people to send in photos of their children. I don't mean to sound as angry as I did towards the listener who didn't send a photo of the baby he described as his large son. But
there's still time.
I forgive him. There's still time to send me a photo. And
we will not post them. This is truly for Beth's
enjoyment. We won't post your photos on the internet that everyone is too scared to share.
We'll post pictures of our kids. It's all we've ever known.
We're shameless.
And they'll hate us for it one day.
We have no sense of security.
we're going to have kids online and coronavirus in our bodies.
Yeah. I mean,
we know no boundaries.
But
we know no bounds.
What part of how I feel about the coronavirus is that.
Let's bookend this podcast with coronavirus.
I feel like given our disgusting pale bodies and my in particular horrible allergies. The universe owes it to me that I think my ancestors survived plagues.
Well,
and this coronavirus is not going to take me out.
Guns, germs, and steel. The Europeans conquered the world because we were so gross that the plague. Any of us that survived.
I believe that my ancestors are among the most disgusting people on the planet in terms of germ sharing.
Oh, you're the French right, like, in the middle of the plague.
Middle ages white people, and still, I mean, white people for much of history are among the worst at spreading germs. We are filthy.
It's the geography, it's not the people, but the people are a result of the geography.
No, it's not just the geography. It's like white people throughout.
We're going to end by throwing all white people under the bus.
Just historically, we are bad and we need to own that. White people historically, like throughout colonization, like they mocked medicine and things from other cultures. So like black women were doing C-sections, like sterilized in Africa, like thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. But white people up until the 1800s, you can watch the Ken Burns documentary on the Mayo Clinic and the Mayo brothers or whatever their names are. They like
Joey Mayo.
People in America at that time were willfully not washing their hands before performing surgery because they wanted to mock this new information about how germs might be spread. And
they're all like Brit. No one wants to be told what to do.
That is the spirit of America. And I am going to wrap up this podcast by saying, go wash your hands, even if it's not about you getting sick.
Yes. I will say, as much as we are making light of the coronavirus, there are people with serious compromised immune systems who are older that this is a serious thing. And we do take that seriously. People, so be considerate of them. And wash your hands.
Some people have compromised immune systems. Some people
cough
are tiny babies.
Into your
elbow.
Into your elbow.
Stay
and
home
if you,
if you
sick,
feel bad.
Stay home. That's what I read. Don't buy a mask. You don't need a mask, but cough into your elbow. Wash your hands.
Vote
stay home
for
if you're
someone
sick.
Who wants universal health care.
This has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. If you would like to send us an email, ask us your question, send us some listeners want to knows, or send us a picture of your baby, you can do so. Email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Won't you leave us a review? The last review we got,
please,
this woman didn't like our opinions on car seats. And it's valid, but somebody, let's push that one down, okay? find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at We Knows Pod. And guess what?
Buy my book.
Buy your book.
There's
no manual.
Manual.
We knows that there's no manual.
We knows there's nothing.
There's
nothing.
No manual.
There's no manual.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.